Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Adam McManus, also in studio, and he is a homeschool father of three and the host for the Worldview.com, our daily Worldview in 5 minutes program in which we update you on important persecution cases that occur around the world. We step back and ask ourselves, if Jesus was listening, if Jesus was in charge of the news, what would be important? And we siphon through 300 to 400 news stories for each day and identify the 6, 7, 8, 9 stories that have some import from a biblical worldview perspective. So we try to do that on a daily basis. And we try to keep track of Christians in prison and Christians in prison in the United States for their faith. And you say, well, that's shocking that they're arresting Christians and putting them in prison these days. Yes, Christian pastors in prison in America and Canada, maybe a bit of a shock to your system, but that is what is happening. Now, they're not throwing people in jail for preaching Jesus. They're not. That's not the charge. They typically don't say, you know, a felony charge because this man was preaching Jesus on a street corner somewhere. They typically don't do that, although it seems to me that's what the high priest, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin were doing with Peter and John in the first chapters of the book of Acts. But that's not the reason why people are in prison in America and Canada these days. Adam, it's typically technicalities. It's regulations. They didn't have enough porta potties in the field where Jesus fed the 5,000. They didn't have their masks. They forgot the hand sanitizer. And there's Jesus touching all that bread and fish and getting all those germs all over everything. Oh, we're going to have a COVID-19 outbreak. Shut it down and arrest the man. Isn't that where we are right now?
Yes. I think the civil government delights in using any of a series of silly reasons to shut down the church because they ultimately feel threatened by it because we have an allegiance to not the government, but to God. And God is the one that gave us the institutions of family, church, and the government. God is over government. And any government official who is on the left in particular and wants total control is threatened by that.
Well, two cases, Christians in jail for their faith in America and Canada. And we come back to this. We've done this off and on for the last 8, 10 years of the program. We just want to update you on those who are suffering for their faith in prisons in America and Canada, especially in the post-Christian Western world. And you can expect more of this as the days go by. Philip Zodiades is now day 813 in a federal prison, persecuted for his faith for saving the life of a little girl from the clutches of an alleged lesbian abuser. Now, he's getting out of prison in about a month now, but he is suffering for his faith. I don't think there's any question in my mind about that. Of course, you know, if there were righteous judges judging righteously, then they would not put Philip in prison for attempting to save the life of a little girl from the clutches of an alleged sexual abuser, a lesbian. And, of course, you know, this was her mother, her natural mother, the mother that bore her, was in a wrong relationship. She was committing sexual sin with this woman, but somehow the state believes that if you're committing sexual sin with a lesbian, the lesbian has a right to spend time with your children. And if that be the case, then apparently they have the right to abuse the child as well. There is, apparently had been some testimony from social workers to that effect during the trials. And what happened was the mother gets a ride from Philip Zodiades, and she makes it out of the country and then eventually off to Nicaragua and off to Africa, as I understand
it.
And yeah, Lisa Miller, the mother. And Isabella, the daughter, is protected until she's 18 years of age and just recently turned 18, and now she can make her own choices. And my understanding is that Isabella is a believer in Jesus. She just published her personal testimony. She believes in Jesus. She's not going to condemn her mother. She's not going to testify against her mother.
And her mother now has turned herself in. Since now Isabella's 18 years of age, her mother turned herself in, said, okay, well, you know, I've done my job, and that is to protect the life of my daughter. And she has turned herself in to the authorities, and she's held by officials somewhere in Florida, is my understanding.
Well, and to put it into greater perspective, Lisa Miller, the mother, was at one point in a sexual relationship with her lesbian lover, and then ultimately repented of that lesbian relationship.
Right, right.
Yet was concerned for the physical health of her daughter, who at the time was about 9 years of age, Isabella Miller. She alleged that her daughter was being sexually abused by her former lesbian lover. That's when Philip Zodiades, the Christian businessman, helped to get her out of the country. Both Lisa Miller, who's now repentant of her former lesbian lifestyle, her biological child Isabella Miller, and they ultimately made their way to Nicaragua and escaped what was allegedly a sexually abusive situation at the hand of the former lesbian lover of Lisa Miller. Here's the actual statement from Isabella, who now is 18, who surfaced in Nicaragua. She said, I, Isabella Ruth Miller, am grateful for the life that God has given me these past few years and rejoice in the blessings he has granted me. I am not willing to testify against Mama or anyone who has helped bless my life these past years. I am committed to continue to serve God in the days to come. And Lisa Miller, who you noted turned herself in January 19th, 2021, just within the last month in Nicaragua and now extradited to Florida, issued a statement in which she praised God for, quote, protecting as in a cloud pillar and sheltering my daughter Isabella and I these last 11 years as I've been raising her for Christ in an undisclosed location, end quote. So Philip Zodiades has been in prison for 2+ years for having helped rescue that child from that lesbian woman who was allegedly abusing her. He was charged with quote-unquote kidnapping, and you can learn a lot more about the case at the website 419fund.com, 419fund.com.
And friends, also remember that two Mennonite pastors have served time as well, so this has been a massive effort on the part of the homosexual population to persecute as many Christians as possible, and sadly, a number of Christians have suffered the rage of the homosexual population as a result of this particular case. Now, Philip Zodiades is soon to get out of prison. He's had a flourishing prison ministry, thankfully, during that time. Lots of Bible studies, guys coming to know Jesus during these years in prison. Philip writes this message, though, as he's about ready to be released. God is calling each of his children to suffer for him. Philippians 1 makes this clear to us. For you, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Paul wrote this during his imprisonment in Rome. Jesus said in Matthew 24:9-10, they will deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. What is more, Paul told Timothy, his protege, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so we must expect and prepare for the coming onslaught against believers, which we already see happening in the West, just as it has occurred in many other areas of the world in the past 100 years. The fact that Lisa Miller and I are in prison is merely one indication, but the signs are abundant. Christians are being canceled by the cancel culture. They're marginalized, shamed, kicked off media platforms for refusing to compromise God's word. We are being falsely ridiculed and blamed for many of society's ills. Christian organizations with no warning are having their ability to process credit card donations nullified and stripped by the platforms. Churches are being fined for meeting while gyms, marijuana stores, strip clubs, and others are allowed to remain open. All of this targeting Christians is increasing at a dramatic pace, and the Constitution seems now to offer no protection for us. How then do we prepare for such troubles? For it will eventually happen to us. Scripture says we are warned plenty of times not to be caught off guard, but to be ready to face such difficulties. I'm not fearful of what they might do to me and my family, but have made certain preparation for the worst of scenarios, such as cutting off our utilities, refusing to allow us to buy or sell, or stripping us of access to our bank accounts or retirement funds, and so forth and so on. So this is some of the encouragement that Philip gives to us from his prison cell out in the Pennsylvania area, I believe. I pray for all that you may might take heed and prepare. We are living in troubled times. We must draw closer to him, to Jesus. All right, well, that's the final word from Philip Zotiates, who is about ready to be released from prison for saving the life and certainly the purity of this little girl who was subjected to this particular lesbian. Be back with more in just a moment. We're going to talk about a pastor in jail up in Canada. We've referred to this on the Worldview several times already, and we want to update you on what's going on with Pastor James Coates up in Alberta. More next on the Generations broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast, this time updating our listening audience on the persecuted saints in America and Canada. Hebrews chapter 13 encourages us to remember those in chains, and we do so, not just those in chains in China, Pakistan, Eritrea, and elsewhere, but here in the United States and Canada. Let's remember those in chains. And yes, caught on technicalities, but hey, that's how they catch pastors in China. They always catch them on technicalities. Come on. It's always a technicality. So let's remember the saints in chains. We're caught on the technicalities. The Apostle Paul caught on the technicalities of raising up too much in terms of sedition and riots and just unsafe. Whenever the Apostle Paul came to town, there were riots and revivals. They had two things going on, riots and revivals. As one British pastor put it, whenever the Apostle Paul came to town, there were riots and revivals. Whenever I come to town, they serve me tea.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it. All I get is tea. But we would love to see revivals, certainly. But riots tend to accompany revivals. And for that reason, the Apostle Paul found himself in prison. Well, Pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church up in Alberta held church as usual on February 7th. After the service, the RCMP presented him with an undertaking to cease breaching the public health order. I believe that's the mounted police. RCMP is the mounted police. Came into the service, presented James Coates with an undertaking to cease breaching the public health orders. He did not agree to the undertaking. At that point, the RCMP, the mounted police, were supposed to take him before a justice of the peace. They did not. Coates again held church on February 14th. On Monday, February 15th, the RCMP asked Coates to turn himself in. Coates did. The mounted police then charged him with breaching the public health orders and with breaching an undertaking. There was a bail hearing. The Crown prosecutor asked the court to keep Coates in jail until his trial, a date not yet known. My understanding is that's out towards May, so he'll be in jail for at least 2 months. The JP disagreed and ordered Coates released. However, a condition of the release order was that Coates, Pastor Coates, stop holding church. Well, the pastor could not do that in good conscience. without agreeing to the condition, he cannot be released. He is therefore still in jail and will remain there until agreeing to the condition or an appeal of his condition is heard and is successful. A trial date has not yet been set, but will in the coming week or so. Now, we've already interviewed folks concerning that on the Worldview in 5 Minutes, and the group that we've been able to stay in contact with is a homeschool family very near and dear to our family. They've been down here to visit us. And this family is members. They're members of this Grace Life Church in Edmonton, and this is their pastor. And we interviewed them on the Worldview.
It's understandable, number one, why Pastor Coates wanted to continue to hold in-person services despite the COVID tyrannical rule that churches shut down in-person meetings, because Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 is very clear. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. By the way, that doesn't mean by Zoom, but together in person, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I had a chance to email him directly through an email address that I provided for everybody in our listenership. I hope that people who do not yet subscribe to the Worldview in 5 Minutes newscast will go on to the website, theworldview.com, click on subscribe, put your name and email address in there, and every morning at 7 Central, you'll receive that, and you'll find links to a lot of these various politicians who are doing good and bad things, and pastors or Christian leaders who need to be encouraged. And I sent an email. I said, Pastor Coates, may the Lord give you strength as you are being unjustly punished in jail for holding an in-person worship service. We covered your story and featured an audio clip from your sermon in our Christian newscast today. And I heard back from them, and they said, the administrative assistant, Mark Blackburn, said, Dear Adam, on behalf of Grace Life, Pastor James and his family, we thank you for taking the time to reach out and express your support. We value the prayers of the saints and are watching the unfolding fruit that God is bringing about for his glory. All glory be to Christ. And I know, Kevin, you've got a clip from that February 14th sermon in which he talked about the role of government in the biblical context.
This would have been hours before his arrest. And again, he's been in jail now for over a week. I'm going to say 10 days, maybe 14 days. And Pastor Coates will probably be in jail until the beginning of May, when his first hearing has been scheduled. But this was part of his last sermon preached just hours before his arrest in Edmonton, Alberta. So let's just play just a piece of this for our audience.
I'm doing what I'm doing in obedience to Christ. I am quite content to let the Lord Jesus Christ himself decide whether or not this is persecution. He promises that those who are persecuted for his namesake will be blessed. He's the one that blesses, and I'm content to leave that in his court.
All right, so that's the piece. And it sounds like he was about ready to be arrested. He realized what was going to happen, given that he was taking such a risk. And Canada, of course, more severe in terms of the shutdown. In America, we've had, well, we have the Constitution. We have the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and a U.S. Supreme Court, many justices of which have been appointed by several, three justices appointed by the president, the Republican president, Donald Trump. And so that has helped us. We have been able to continue to meet in our churches across this country with very few exceptions, except for those who perhaps didn't have quite the faith, the courage to stand up and say, hey, we're going to take this to the Supreme Court of the United States and see what happens. And we were successful.
And I might add that Pastor Coates also received a $1,200 fine back in December. So this jail sentence, which is especially egregious, is on top of a $1,200 fine for daring to violate the Canadian COVID tyrannical rule of shutting down churches.
Now, friends, this is a jurisdiction question, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I went to their website, went to the Grace Life Church's website, and this is part of their rationale. You can read the whole thing if you'd like. It pops up right away when you get to the Grace Life Church website in Edmonton. Just do your search for Grace Life Edmonton, and you'll get right there to it. Here's their justification for what they're doing. 10 years ago, COVID-19 would not have qualified as a pandemic. In fact, not even close. Alberta is currently reporting 1,782 COVID-related deaths. It's critically important to articulate it this way. There is a big difference between dying from COVID and dying with COVID. But it is also critical to note that these COVID-related deaths, as tragic as they are, have not resulted in a statistically significant increase in excess deaths. And the average age of those who have died related to COVID-19 is 82, consistent with life expectancy in Alberta. So again, they're trying to be rational and thoughtful and careful as they compare these things. And it's very, very important, friends, that we are not going to be a respecter of persons or a respecter of diseases when it comes to opening or shutting our churches. So far, they say 1,782 persons died of COVID in Alberta, the province of Alberta, thus far. And that's 0.04% of the population, friends. That's only 0.04% of the population. All right? Compared to a pandemic that kills between 20 and 40% of the population in the history of pandemics, that's 1/1,000th of the severity of the smallpox. And we're shutting down churches for that?
That's why they put pandemic in quotes.
Yeah. And that's their argument. And I think it's important for us to step back and say, okay, how many people have died of COVID? 1,782. That's 0.04% of the population. By the way, in 2019, 1,997 people died of dementia in Alberta. And 1,886 died of heart disease. I did the check. You can go online and just check this out. It takes you about 10 seconds. So 1,997 people died of dementia, 1,886 people died of heart disease, and 1,523 people died of upper respiratory issues, and 1,782 died of COVID-19. Friends, when we make judgments, we cannot be a respecter of persons or a respecter of diseases. We can't favor one disease over another. Now, people will come back and say, oh, now, wait a minute. It's the responsibility of the state to make these calls. And I disagree with that. I don't believe that this is something, this is the jurisdictional authority of the state. The church has an absolute requirement to make this call. Even in the case of Old Testament quarantines, the priest made the call, not the king or the judges. It was the priest that made the call when it came to quarantines. And I believe the same thing should happen now. The church elders have a responsibility to make the call. And there may be instances in which the church elders may say, yeah, we've got a massive problem right now in the church. 30% of the people are dying of smallpox. We need to pull back. We need to find better ways to protect each other for the time being. Okay, I understand that. I get that. But not when the incidence is, 0.04% of the population, equivalent to roughly what the people dying of upper respiratory diseases. We're going to shut down the churches for the complicating factors that lead to deaths by upper respiratory diseases every single year? Are we going to do that year? If you eliminate the deaths by comorbidities as well, you're down to about 300 deaths in a year. So now that's even less. Okay, so you pull out the comorbidities. You say, okay, we want to be fair here. We want to say, okay, what is the contribution of COVID-19 to deaths in Alberta, and you're down to 300 deaths. That's almost nothing in comparison to some of the other death causes in the province of Alberta. This is an age-specific disease as well. If you're in your 80s, you have 8,000 times more likely to die than a teenager and 500 times more likely to die than a 20 to 30-year-old. All right, so again, this is an age-specific disease. Smallpox in Scotland in the 1870s, I did a check on this. Every age group was equally likely to die all the way up to 60 years of age. It kind of fell off after 60 years of age. I don't know if there were just less people, alive at that age. But as far as every age group from 0 to 60 years of age, every age group was equally likely to die from smallpox in Scotland in the 1870s. So, friends, wow, this is a long shot away from a pandemic. Now, I understand that this has been politicized. I understand that the state is licking its chops, the statists, the tyrants, the dictators that want to control every single aspect of modern life are licking their chops on how many ways they can restrict life in the modern age because of this ruse, because of this excuse. To restrict every area of life, business, church, you name it, because of this ruse, this disease called COVID-19, this coronavirus, which is a little more severe than the flu. I get that, but nowhere near the morbidity of a smallpox pandemic.
I would encourage people to check out the website. It's gracelife.ca. You can read their statement about the arrest of Pastor James Coates and why they believed it was important to meet in person and what the stats were in their area of Canada. It's gracelife.ca. Plus, Kevin, I would encourage our listeners to listen to Pastor Coates' last sermon, dated February 14th, right before he was jailed. It's entitled, Directing Government to Its Duty. Go to the website, theworldview.com. On the right side, you'll find the archive. Click on February 23rd, and it's the seventh story in the transcript that day. Again, go to theworldview.com. Click on the February 23rd newscast, and you'll find the link to Pastor Coates' sermon in the seventh story.
Friends, the problem, I think, more than anything else, the thing that is affecting American governance, putting Philip Zodiades in jail for, what, 3 to 4 years and a couple of Mennonite pastors, and Pastor James Coates in Edmonton, Canada. What's the problem? The problem is we live in a post-Christian age. The problem is these men don't fear God. These leaders do not fear God. They will not make righteous judgments. About 90%, I'd say higher than that, probably closer to 99% of the laws they legislate are against God's laws, or they violate the jurisdictional boundaries that God has laid out for the state in His Word. So Christians have a right to be highly suspect of these governments. We don't just trust these governments. Now, I realize there are some that put implicit trust in princes and horses, but we don't. We don't trust them. Every Christian church with faith, every Christian leadership team with any faith should question the magistrate when they try to shut down your worship service. Now, there are Christians, professing Christians, that automatically assume that whatever the state, whatever the government, whatever the secular governments that hate God and will not fear the true and living God decide, has got to be the right thing to do. Well, friends, come on. These people don't fear God. They don't have wisdom. They don't have knowledge. Why do I say that? Because they don't even have the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, which is the fear of God. There are Christians out there automatically assuming that these statists are doing the right thing, and these pastors in Edmonton are rebels, and they're doing the wrong thing. Well, these Christians are acting like servile, groveling sycophants. They're putting too much trust in princes, and they're not thinking or stopping to consider these things in a biblical context, and that's what we're encouraging on this edition of the program. If the magistrates had referred to Paul's work in Ephesus as unsafe, causing sedition, causing riots, what should he do? Stop preaching? Stop meeting together? Stop evangelizing? Not so for the Apostle Paul. Yeah, he's arrested just about everywhere, and he had to go through the stoning thing, but then he pulled himself back up and went off and continued to evangelize in Ephesus and Philippi, Thessalonica, and all the way through Asia Minor. The ungodly magistrates, of course, they're going to come up with reasons why we shouldn't preach the gospel and gather as a church. But we need to stand against this tyranny, my friends. And if you need to understand more concerning jurisdictional boundaries, and I think it's critical that we understand what God has laid out for the family, for the church, and for the state, I'd recommend two resources. One is Family Life, which is my book on the family, and I have an entire chapter on the family, church, and state and these jurisdictions. And then also I'd encourage you to The Story of Freedom. It's our book on politics. It's our book on a biblical approach to government. And so I'd encourage you to that little book, The Story of Freedom, which gives you an exciting story of the battle for freedom over 800 years of Western history. And then we get into the current battles and a biblical approach to matters of family freedoms and individual rights as defined by God's law. So all of that in the book, The Story of Freedom, available at generations.org. We also have a study guide that goes along with it, available as well. This is Kevin Swanson, Adam McManus, and we want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.